When I was out growing up, my dad would take us to an annual trip from my little town of in the border of Mexico. We'd drive to San Antonio, Texas. And if everybody remembers this, well, not everybody, but some of us remember the department store Joskies. Remember department store Joskies? That was my mom's place to go. That was this, her yearly trip. When I was a little tyke, they would give me what they call matchbox cars for my birthdays. And they call it matchbox. Back in the 30s when the matchbox cars were started, they were size of a matchbox. That's what they call matchbox. But when in the 60s and 70s, they had grown, obviously, and they had different kinds. They had the Model Ts and the steam engines, and the carriage, stagecoach, and all that kind of. It was pretty neat for a kid, okay? And they had a collector series. And I would do little chores and whatever they'd give me, my parents would give me, and I collected my piggy bank, and I'd say, when we go to Joskies, I'm gonna go buy me a matchbox car. And sure enough, we'd go to the second floor, I remember that, and there was a toy department. In that toy department, there was a display, and all it had was the collector's items of the matchbox, and I'd say, I want that one, and I'd pull out all my dollars and dimes, and the person behind the counter was like picking them up, and finally got it. But after I buy that toy or that collector car, I'd say, man, this is mine. I bought it with my mom, money, not my dad's, it was mine. Well, that was instilled to me from a very young age. My dad and my mom said, if you don't have the money, don't buy it. Very simple. Unfortunately, in today's environment, the whirlwind of advertisements and everything else and the easy credit has brought us, today's society, into acquiring material things. And it looks like it's a foot race sometimes. My sermonette today is not about acquiring wealth. I believe we all know the basics about that. It is, however, a reminder for all of us to refocus on what is really important. Many people affix their entire lives in acquiring wealth and power. You know, the world around us is all about people trying to overtake other people and their lives and controlling people. And at the twilight of their lives, those particular people's lives, it's humbling. They finally find out that it was all for nothing. Now, I have known people that they're very rich, and at the very end, they're depressed because they didn't spend enough time with their family or their certain individual or family vacation. They slip into a type of depression. States that, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. This simple, unexpected request from a little-known biblical author named Agur. It's the only prayer in the book of Proverbs, and it offers a life-changing potential. The sermonette today is titled The Prayer of Agur. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Reading from verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Verse 10, for the love of money is root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, along with what Timothy was quoting here, he said, we will. It's not if you want. We will be content with food and shelter. Timothy was a young boy, but he was a wise young man. His frame of mind was totally different. He was fixed on what was important. He probably read the book of Proverbs, and he probably read the prayer of Agur. Who was Agur anyway? It's described as a sage. You said, what's a sage? Well, it's a person that is a profound philosopher or distinguished for his wisdom. Well, that takes out a lot of people, doesn't it? Number two, translation says, a mature, venerable person of sound judgment. Well, that just narrows it down more. Ask yourself to name three people that you know that fit that description. And if you find out, it's going to take you a while, but when you do find those, turn to them frequently for advice. That prayer that Agur prayed, do you think it was spurred because of what he saw, what Agur did, Agur saw? Because he was in Solomon's temple. He was right there in the mix of everything. And he probably saw all the multitudes of problems and that wealth causes that Solomon had to deal with. Let's go to Proverbs 23, verses 4 through 5. This is out of the NIV. Proverbs 23, verses 4 through 5. And starting in verse 4, it says, do not wear yourselves out to get rich. That first one, it says, do not wear yourselves out. Do not trust your own cleverness. Don't even trust yourself. Cast but a glance at riches, but they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. How many people that you know that built up a company, built up something, and only to have it, has their children or the grandchildren lose it all? For nothing. The same can be said about the abuse of power. You know, a lot of people get the power thing and they gets through their head. That's one thing man can't handle is because it requires to be humble. Money, power, wealth, and physical things are just simply things. They by themselves are not inherently good or bad. But it is his people's use of these things and attitudes towards these things that God is most concerned with. You know, the people of the world, they're given over to those things. But we as God's people should pay special emphasis and focus on certain things. God sometimes does permit some of God's people around the world to be in poverty. But maybe they're full of spiritual strength and wealth. And sometimes people that are in poverty, it's a test. And as the same thing as there's some people in the church that are very wealthy, but it's a test for them as well on how grateful, maybe generous and humble it makes them. So there is no one single most important verse in the Bible concerning money and wealth. Perhaps it would be good to conclude with one final passage that expresses a spiritual maturity and balance approach to subject of money and wealth. Let's go to Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. This is Agur's prayer. This is out of the Scofield's Bible. That's the best. I looked at all these things, and this is the one that I think hits the nail on the head. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9, it says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Don't refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of God. Agur had his both feet on the ground, as they say. He was a man of what it sounded like, that the translation was a sage. He probably witnessed all the maladies that the excesses Solomon had, as well as the poverty and what people turned to because of the poverty. Eventually, the excesses brought Solomon down. But how about the people that were around Solomon, the enablers, the people that mowed, I call it, you've heard me say, mow down everything that was in his way. No challenges for him. They suffered too. Matthew 6:33 tells us what we should be focused for. Everything else will come to us. But we should be focused on that. Because man cannot handle power, wealth, and fame. It's too much. Satan does not give us what we don't want. He gives us what we want. It's like a drug. If one is good, two is better. And we always want more. We just don't know when to quit in anything until it destroys us or until we're so far deep that we can't get out. That matchbox collection that I collected when I started when I was six, and I stopped when I was 14. When I got married and moved to Corpus, it stayed there at my mom's house. My sister, when at that time she was a teenager, she had a little get-together at the house, and what, some of her friends had their little brothers. And my teenagers, just to entertain them, it was easy for her to take my collection, you know, and had the little children play with them. And they played, you know, see how strong were they, banging themselves. And well, I saw pieces of it, and large of it was missing. That goes to show you, brethren, all those years I tried to collect those things, and all for naught. It was for nothing. But on the other hand, all the years I've spent in God's work and studying his word, nobody can take away from me. That's the difference. Brethren, ask God to keep our feet grounded. Fear God and keep his commandments.